Welcome to The Beat, a podcast series from the cops office at the Department of Justice, featuring interviews with experts from a varied field of disciplines. The Beat provides law enforcement with the latest developments and trending topics in community policing. I'm your host, Jennifer Donnellan, and today we'll hear from James Birch. He's Vice President of Strategic Initiatives at the Police Foundation. So, Jim, welcome to The Beat. And the topic today that we're talking about is the LEO Near Miss Reporting System Project. Why don't you explain to us, one, what LEO means and what this project is all about?
I'd be glad to do that. Thank you for the opportunity. It's important that we share more information about what this initiative is designed to accomplish and how it works, because part of our challenge is getting the word out there about its availability and the importance of what it's trying to accomplish. So let me start at the beginning. The LEO Near Miss Reporting System stands for the Law Enforcement Officer Near Miss Reporting System. This is a national initiative that was launched in late 2015. It was launched at the annual International Association of Chiefs of Police annual meeting that took place in Orlando, Florida that year. And the idea is to create a national platform where we can collect information about near miss incidents that occur that involve law enforcement officers. This isn't something that's brand new. It's an initiative that we've actually modeled after other very successful efforts to track near misses. The one that most people think of is the Federal Aviation Administration, the FAA's near miss reporting system for airline pilots. Right? So today there are hundreds of near miss incidents that are reported every week. Well, that doesn't make us feel much better when we're traveling on an airplane to know that there are hundreds of near misses that occur every week. But the reporting is so good within the aviation industry that they've actually improved safety tremendously as a result of this effort. So the fact that we have that many near misses doesn't necessarily mean that a lot of bad things are happening. What it means is that the aviation community is dedicated from learning about things that almost happened but were avoided. Right? So these are actually good news situations in many cases where we're learning from how a problem was avoided. Due to the efforts of good decision-making or luck in some cases. But we're trying to replicate that process on the law enforcement side.
I'm glad you brought up the FAA aviation aspect, because when I first read about the topic near miss, what I think about are two planes almost missing each other. So when it gets to law enforcement officer near miss reporting system, can you go into a little bit more about what is a near miss or what it encompasses?
In some cases, it might be what you would expect, right, where there maybe are two police vehicles that are responding to the same emergency incident that narrowly avoid a collision between the two cars. That's a pretty common scenario, believe it or not. But what we also see in law enforcement is a high-risk profession, right? And so we see not only the traffic-type incidents, although they are right now the number one type of incident that we see reported as near misses, we know there are a lot of other high-risk types of activities. One of those, for example, is serving arrests and search warrants. Those are recognized as very high-risk types of activities, and we see that come through in the near-miss data. When you're going to serve a warrant, generally the person's probably going to be aware that they have a warrant, and they're going to be expecting you to be there, and they're not going to be happy about you being there. So these are pretty high-risk situations if they're not planned for carefully. So we see that come through, but it could be something more simple. It could be that, an officer was standing on the side of the road writing a ticket and a vehicle came too close, didn't move over. For example, that could potentially be a near miss. So what we say is a near miss is any type of incident where injury or death to a person, including the police officer or the citizen or citizens that were engaged with the officer or nearby, but it could also be damage to property. Right. And so there may be some situations where, property damage was avoided because of the actions of an officer or the actions of a citizen. So we want to learn about that. We want to learn about any type of a scenario where we could, potentially save the life of an officer or a citizen, or just generally improve safety.
Okay, so the LEO Near Miss is on a national overall schedule covering all of the United States, I would assume, correct?
Right.
So how do you get your data from the variety of local, state, and other agencies that have these near-miss incidents?
Because there are, in the U.S., there's more than 18,000 law enforcement agencies, over 800,000 law enforcement officers. We're not organized in the same way it is in other countries where it's all one agency or one organization. So it's many different organizations. So when we launched LEO Near Miss, we launched it in a way that would make it available to any individual police officer, that they could submit data anonymously. They don't have to tell us who they are. They don't have to tell us what department they work for. They don't even have to tell us what state that the incident occurred in. We just need to know that it was a legitimate incident and it was observed by a law enforcement officer, and this is what happened. And in their perspective, how was tragedy avoided and what can we learn from that incident? So we give them an opportunity to tell us that story. But we also recognize that law enforcement officers sometimes don't feel comfortable reporting these kinds of incidents because they could have liability concerns or other risks associated with the agency itself. And so we began reaching out to individual agencies around the country. And today, we have nearly 10 different agencies that have adopted LEO Near Miss at the agency level. So in other words, this is a different approach where the organization says, we want to be a leader in sort of understanding near miss situations involving law enforcement. We want to make this tool available to everyone in our department. And we want to work together in a non-blaming, non-disciplinary kind of way to say, let's look at the near miss incidents that have occurred in our agency. How can we improve our safety based on that data? So we're working with, as I mentioned, nearly 10 different departments around the country that have embraced this at the organizational level.
Why do you personally and as the Police Foundation have an interest in this topic?
Yeah, well, the Police Foundation has been in the business since 1970 of advancing policing through innovation and science. And we think this initiative is both innovative in the way that it goes about collecting data in an anonymous way, but also is scientific because it is about data. It's about learning and studying these incidents, studying the patterns that come about. So the Police Foundation sees this as a great fit for its work. And for me personally, and I think for many others involved in this project at the Police Foundation, at the COPS office, or at Motorola Solutions Foundation, which has been another big funder of this initiative, we're invested in it because we work with law enforcement officers every day. Many of us know law enforcement officers. We were one, had one in our family. So we know these people as people, right? And we want to do our jobs and want to do our part to help protect and make everybody safer. We also recognize that in many cases, when a tragedy occurs involving a law enforcement officer, there's sometimes citizens involved in that as well. If it's a vehicular accident, for example, or some other type of violent incident that occurs, sometimes innocent civilians can get caught up in that. So we see this as a way of providing improved safety, not only for law enforcement officers, but also for communities.
As far as your professional role at the Police Foundation, how does it relate to the work that you're doing for the LEO Near Miss reporting system?
Well, my role at the Police Foundation as Vice President for Strategic Initiatives is to really look outside of the realm of policing and see what's happening in other sectors, if you will, or other professions, and try to bring lessons learned from that back into the Police Foundation. I joined the Police Foundation in January of 2015. LEO Near Miss was already conceived at that point, and the idea was moving forward. So I don't take credit for starting LEO Near Miss. But for me personally, my role is really to oversee the program, help it grow nationally, observe how it is being adopted or not, and then try to figure out how we can improve the adoption of LEO Near Miss nationwide.
Interesting. Can you give us some brief examples of what's been reported?
Yeah, absolutely. In fact, we've just reached a place where we've begun to do some analysis of some of the early data that's come in. As I alluded to or hinted at earlier, one of the most common situations we see are near misses involving traffic stops or traffic encounters. So this could be a situation where, an officer's vehicle is almost struck by another vehicle in the process of making a traffic stop. Sometimes it's the person that's being stopped that tries to leave the scene and may attempt to injure the officer or almost injure the officer in those cases. But it could also be other more nefarious types of situations where an officer approaches a vehicle and finds out that the person inside is armed. That person tries to assault or kill the officer but misses. We would consider that a near miss as well, and we want to learn from those. We've seen situations where officers have approached a vehicle and observed a firearm. That was not disclosed. We consider that a near miss as well because we want to remind officers not to be complacent. And complacency is one of the first things we see when we ask officers to tell us, what do you think went wrong in this situation, right? What could we do to improve safety? The number one thing that comes out is complacency. So there's this tendency, I think, to consider routine events to be routine, right? And this is what you'll hear people in law enforcement say: there is no traffic stop that is routine, right? And the reason why they say that is because they have to remind themselves not to become complacent with an action that they might take 10, 20, 30 times a day, every day, right? Traffic stops are pretty common, but in law enforcement, we say no traffic stop is routine. And that is to try to fight off the complacency. If you get complacent, you start to not be observant, you start to not be aware, and that's when someone has an opportunity to essentially, you know, take advantage of that and assault or kill the officer. So traffic stops are number one. I mentioned earlier warrant service type activity. We've also seen a lot of concealed weapons among suspects that, you know, weren't found until far into the encounter. In one case in particular, there was a near miss reported where officers took an individual into custody and then later transferred that individual to another police department that may have had an open warrant or may have been handling the booking for that person. And after that transfer was completed, right, and this was a person who was in custody, so handcuffed, they found a firearm in the police cruiser that was left by the person who had that on them, but it wasn't discovered in the search, or a thorough search was not done. And so we're learning about things like this, and the idea is, how can we go back and improve training? How can we go back and improve policy and procedure after looking at these events across the country?
So are there any type of near-miss activities that you can incorporate within officer training activities?
Yeah, absolutely. Training for law enforcement, you know, we have to try to replicate those scenarios that they're going to find themselves engaged in. And so training can be high risk as well for law enforcement. They spend a lot of time at firearms ranges. For example, we see accidental discharges taking place. That's somewhat common. Unfortunately, it happens, particularly when you're trying to teach people who don't have experience handling firearms previously. So we have seen accidental discharges. We have seen misplaced firearms, those kinds of things. They occur, right? We're human. We all make mistakes. And the idea here is, how do we not necessarily penalize someone, but how do we learn from those mistakes?
And that learning is key. I think you have one example in depth that you can sort of walk us through to help our listeners understand more about how the reporting goes to your agency and the information that you gather.
Yeah, I'd love to do that. And I think it's important that we walk through one of these, because what we want people to understand, again, is that this is not about discipline. It's not about catching someone doing something wrong. It's about learning. And part of that learning process is asking the officer that submits this near miss to tell us what you think went wrong, right, and what you would do differently next time. So what we do is we have a website. We have a mobile app. It's open to any law enforcement officer. They can basically go in and click a button to submit a report. They start out by telling us what happened in the incident. They can tell us as much or as little as they want. If they include identifying information before that report is published, we will strip that out, right? So an officer could include identifying information for us to have a better understanding of context. So let's say if they say it happened at the McDonald's restaurant on the corner of South and Main, we'll take out the name of that restaurant and we'll take out those two cross streets, because we don't want anybody to say, I know where that occurred, right? So they don't have to tell us who they are. They don't have to tell us where it occurred or what agency was involved. They submit the incident. So in one example that I wanted to share was an officer who was involved in a police pursuit. His role was to go ahead of where the pursuit was looked to be heading, and to deploy something called stop strips, right, on the street. So this is essentially a strip of plastic or a strip of metal that has metal spikes in it that point up to deflate the subject's tire so that the pursuit can be safely ended. And so you can imagine being on the side of a highway when cars are approaching at very high speeds in a pursuit, generally they're high speed, and deploying these stop strips can be tricky. And so in this particular case, the officer deployed the sticks, which you sometimes throw out. They essentially roll out onto the street. And they didn't deploy in the right way. And so they were either laying on their side or were upside down or twisted. And so this officer, as the vehicles were approaching, the officer went back onto the highway and tried to fix the stop strips, to right side them, and then to get back off of the highway. And he narrowly missed getting hit by the vehicles. And so in his own report, in his own words, what he said was, and this is why this is such a valuable program, I think, he said, for me, I wasn't prepared mentally for the possibility that they wouldn't deploy. He said, I had done this many times. I knew what I was doing. I was confident. He said, I deployed the stop strips. And when I saw them not deploy correctly, he said, I didn't prepare myself for what I would do. So I just acted on instinct. And his instinct was to go back into the highway and fix them without thinking about how much risk he was taking. Right? These are all split second decisions. And so what he says in his report is that the lesson learned for him and the lesson that he wanted us to share with other officers is to have a plan in your mind and be aware and cognizant that if the strips don't deploy, that you're not going to try to go out and fix them. You're going to let it go. Don't allow your instinct to take over in that situation and put you back out on the roadway and put you in harm's way. Know that, you know, in the right situation, know that there may not be an opportunity to fix that, and you just let it go. That's the safer way to play that. And so, you know, we think that was a very valuable lesson. Every one of these reports, we run it by a group of law enforcement experts. Some of them are still in active duty. We'd like to bring in people that are trainers in defensive tactics and other kinds of things, pursuit driving maybe, and ask them to take a look at this and say, first of all, does this make sense? Are the lessons good lessons? Are there other lessons to be learned here that we can share with others in law enforcement? And is there anything that we should add or take away from the report? And so these things are vetted. They're protected very closely in terms of identifying information. We don't even keep the IP address that the reports were submitted from. So if you know somebody goes in from their agency computer and submits a report, within 24 hours, that IP address is gone from our logs. So we don't maintain any way of being able to go back and say, this was Officer Jones that submitted this report, so this incident occurred there, and we don't have that ability to go back and do that. And we did that to make people feel safe about submitting this kind of information.
For our officers that might be listening out there, if they have a near-miss incident and they want to go report it, but either they're too close to it to know the lessons learned or they don't know what the lesson learned is it okay for them to still submit it, all the information, so that, as you said, you might be able to vet it and then come up with some solutions?
Yeah, absolutely. If they're not sure that they have enough information to submit, or if they're not sure what to put down, have them go in and submit the information as much as they do have, and we'll work with that report to reformat it into the way that it needs to be for the site and for others to learn from. Now, there are some officers that will include contact information. Mm-hmm. In those cases, we will quickly review that report. If we need to reach them, we'll do so very, very quickly and then delete that information. We just don't want to have that contact information on hand. But when in doubt, submit the report. Even basic information will help others, right? Even if we just know that it was a near miss that related to a pursuit, that's enough for us to say this happens often. This is an area we need to pay more attention to.
Okay, so you've been doing this for a couple of years now. So what are you going to do with all of the information that you compile? Like, what are your goals for all of this wonderful information that you're gathering?
Well, that's a great question, and I'm glad you asked it. Part of our goal here is to not keep this information sort of locked away. We want to share this, right? So part of our success is the extent to which we can get these reports back out to the field. So we've got a partnership with many different policing organizations, the International Association of Chiefs of Police, the Major Cities Police Chiefs Association, the National Law Enforcement Officers Memorial, National Tactical Officers Association, the training entities around the country. We've got a partnership with all of these groups. And the idea of that was to give us the ability to share the data back with them and have them share it with their members around the country. So again, for us, this is not about secret research project. This is about getting the data back into the hands of law enforcement as quickly as possible.
Time is of the essence. So can you tell us a little bit about the Police Foundation for some of our listeners that might not be fully aware of your role and what it is that you do?
Yeah, absolutely. The Police Foundation was created in 1970. We are a national nonprofit organization. We were created, as I mentioned previously, to advance policing through innovation and science. We do that by being an independent organization, so we don't have members per se. We're nonpartisan, so to us, it doesn't matter whether it's right or left, conservative or liberal. It's what matters is that it's the truth and that it's facts, and that we can try to push that out to law enforcement. So we provide research, we provide data and analytics, we provide training, technical assistance. We work with agencies to do assessments. We do, for example, critical incident reviews. So one example of that is the terrorist attacks that occurred in San Bernardino, California, in 2016. We go back in and do a review of those incidents to understand what occurred, what went right, and where we could improve our response to these kinds of things in the future.
You mentioned the website for your program. What is the website?
The website for LEO Near Miss is leonearmiss.org, leonearmiss.org.
And the app, how do you get the app?
Great question. The app is available for free from any of the regular app stores, so it's on the iOS and Android app stores, and I believe it's also on the Windows platform.
Okay, but you have to be vetted through the app. Is it primarily just for police officers?
No, that's one of the interesting things about this is we left access to that open because we wanted others to be able to submit reports if they observed firsthand, observed a near miss, they can submit that. We'll ask you whether or not you're a police officer or whether or not you were involved in the incident. What we don't want is we don't want hearsay. We don't want people that weren't actually there and don't know what occurred. And so we'll vet these closely to make sure we don't have that happening. But actually, anyone can download the app and anyone can submit a report. But some of the more sensitive information, we're putting that behind a secured partition so that only law enforcement agencies can read the intricacies of what happened in these incidents.
If we have listeners that want to contact the Police Foundation about more information, how should they do that?
Yep, to contact the Police Foundation about the LEO Near Miss program, you could just send an email to leonearmiss@policefoundation.org.
Fantastic. And any closing thoughts for our listeners about the LEO Near Miss program and what you've been doing?
No, I think that the one thing we tell folks is just a reminder that this is not about blaming. This is not about making someone look bad in the public eye. This is really about us learning from common mistakes that are going to occur with anyone, any profession. It's been done in aviation. It's been done in transportation sectors and other industrial sectors. It can also be done in policing. And the last thing we would say is that we encourage officers to share your story to prevent to save the life of other law enforcement officers and innocent civilians.
That sharing is so key. Thank you so much for joining us today on The Beat.
Thank you.
The Beat is brought to you by the United States Department of Justice's COPS Office. The COPS Office helps to keep our nation's communities safe by giving grants to law enforcement agencies, developing community policing publications, developing partnerships, and solving problems. If you have comments or suggestions, please email our response center at askcopsrc@usdoj.gov or check out our social media on Facebook, www.facebook.com/DOJ Cops. On YouTube, www.youtube.com/C/DOJ Cops Office or on Twitter at Cops Office. Our website is www.cops.usdoj.gov. The opinions contained herein are those of the authors and do not necessarily represent the official position or policies of the U.S. Department of Justice. References to specific agencies, companies, products, or services should not be considered an endorsement by the authors or the U.S. Department of Justice. Rather, the references are illustrations to supplement discussion of the issues.